Thank you for tuning in to the weekly sermon from Journey of Hope. We are a welcoming community that fosters belonging and acceptance. Through ministries, we enable individuals to transform their lives as they learn to follow Jesus Christ. We follow the guidance of the Spirit in sharing our faith through missional adventures, building relationships, and offering our witness to our community and world. We are one church with multiple campuses in the Elgin and Bartlett communities. To learn more about us, you can check us out at johumc.org, our church app, or any of our social media platforms by searching Journey of Hope. And now, may you be blessed by this week's message.
Our gospel lesson today comes from Luke 9, verses 18 to 22. Once when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who did the crowd say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Our second lesson comes from Ephesians, which I have trouble with, 1, verses 15 to 23. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance of his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." This is the word of the Lord. Please now remain standing and join us in Gloria Patri.
The third day is Resurrection Day. The third day, this study and this worship series that we have been traveling through for so many weeks, looking at the resurrection through the eyes of so many different biblical characters. And here we reach the end of this series as we get ready to prepare this last week and celebration of Easter coming. But there still is a journey that we must take. And this journey is not the easiest. And so I hope that over the course of this series, you have been able to see the resurrection in a new light, in a new way, as you looked at it through the eyes of some of those characters. Maybe you saw a new revelation. Maybe you've come up with the answer to these questions that I have asked you every week. And that is, what difference does a resurrection make in your life? What difference does a resurrection make in your life? Does this extraordinary event in history guide your Christian faith? And what insights have you been able to find as we gaze through the eyes of these biblical characters who also encountered the risen Christ? Will you pray with me? Gracious and almighty God, God, we come striving to hear your word. And so, God, I ask that you would speak to us, that you would offer your message for us today. And God, I ask that the words that I speak would no longer be my own, but they would be your words for your people. And all this I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So today is going to be just a little bit different from the previous weeks. But you see, the other characters that we have discussed have all encountered the risen Christ. They all encountered the risen Jesus. But today we look at the resurrection through the eyes of the one who was resurrected, Jesus himself. Might be a little different for us. And so while the book talked about many different themes, I want to focus on just a couple. And the couple that I want to do, I want to look at the work of what Jesus taught about, including the view of the kingdom of heaven, and also this idea of the true self and the false self. But first, however, we need to acknowledge that the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. And I mean it changes everything. It means that there's more to come. That there's more to come, that this life is not all there is. The kingdom that Jesus talked about is the recreation of the world as we know it. From the very beginning of his ministry, you have to remember this, that Jesus told everyone that God's kingdom was here. God's kingdom was here. The first words of Jesus recorded by Mark come in the first chapter, the 15th verse, and it says this: "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." The kingdom of God is at hand. He is not telling them to learn about the kingdom, to prepare for the kingdom, to live a good life so that you will be ready when the time comes for the kingdom to be revealed. Jesus is saying, it's here. It's right now. From the very beginning, Jesus is telling everyone that everlasting life, abundant life that we hear about so much, does not come when we die in this earthly body. It starts right now. We are living in this everlasting life. We are living in this abundant life right here, right now. The kingdom of heaven is already. And it is not yet. It can be both. It is right here in front of us, but it also is in the future when we die to our mortal bodies. The kingdom of God is already and not yet. Have you seen the kingdom? Have you seen the kingdom of God? Have you seen the kingdom of heaven? Maybe you've seen glimpses of the kingdom. I wonder if you have. I mean, we're all called to participate in the kingdom, to embrace the reign of the kingdom. If you don't think so, just remember this prayer that we shared just a little bit ago. Remember the prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. That is what we're asking for. We are praying for the kingdom to come here on earth, just as it is in heaven. This is our hope. This is our dream. But this is also reality. God's kingdom is already, even if it is also not yet. So how do we participate in the kingdom right here and right now? How do we participate in it? I mean, I think we need to first acknowledge that there is evil in the world. There is evil in the world. We see it every day. The hatred, the violence, the intolerability, the discrimination, and the self-serving attitude that we find in society all point to the exact opposite of God's kingdom. When we find ourselves in a lack of love and compassion, we are far from the kingdom of God. We turn on our TVs and we see wars. We see oppression. We see the feelings of superiority or just the attitude of being the center of the universe. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you that God is the center? God is the center. Not one group of people, not one nation, not one country. God is the center. God is. See, Jesus never taught the other stuff. Never talked about one group being the only one, but that God accepts all, but doesn't leave us where we are. Jesus never taught us to act like we were better than anyone else. We are taught to live in a different way. Jesus tells us all this time, in the stories that he would say, that it would say, you know, you have heard it said, but I tell you. And it's a different way. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are shown a way out of the evil in the world. We are called to live the way of Jesus, to live the way Jesus lived his life. This is given through that power of the resurrection. In his book, Tom Berlin talks about three ways. Because you probably were asking, going, okay, this is great, Jared. You said you were going to tell us how to live in the way of Jesus, but I haven't heard anything yet. So Tom Berlin gives us three ways that we can live the way of Jesus. Transformation and reconciliation, the mission of kingdom work, and the understanding that death is not the end. You see, last week we heard about Paul's transformation, but we also need to realize that Paul was not perfected through that transformation. He still struggled in his faith. He struggled with living the way of Jesus, and we might remember some words that he wrote. And I know that Jim Eby loves reading this stuff from our study on Wednesday mornings, but here is Paul's words in Romans 7, 15 through 20. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law, that is good. So now there is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I want, Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Paul struggled. The transformation and reconciliation happens throughout our life, even in the midst of the struggles. We call this sanctifying grace. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. This is afforded to us through the power of the resurrection. Yes, we fail at times. Yes, we continue to sin. Yes, we continue to fall short of the glory of God. We all do. But thanks be to God that we are forgiven and we continue to grow in grace. Sanctification. Living the way of Jesus also includes working for the kingdom. It is the transformation and the reconciliation of our relationship with God and our relationships with each other. But it also is participating in the kingdom work. This can be personal, it can be social. As we work for the kingdom in our own lives, we look for ways to grow in our knowledge of God. We attend worship. Whether in person or worshiping online, we join small groups so that we can learn more about the faith that we have. More about our faith. We join small groups. If you've joined a small group, if you haven't, then maybe we need to work on that. We join small groups so we can learn more about this faith that we have, that we can learn more about each other and more about God. We spend 15 minutes alone with God every day, so that we are attuned to God's plan for our lives. Are you spending 15 minutes alone with God? The beginning of the day, the end of the day, maybe in the middle. This is where we learn about God. But this is not all personal. You see, we also must participate in the missional work of the kingdom. The missional work of the kingdom. This comes through sacrificial living. It might be offering our gifts, both financial and spiritual, to the ministry of Jesus Christ. It might be serving meals at the soup kettle. It might be helping out at the crisis center or at PADS. It might be offering to help at local food pantries. Where are we helping? In the work of the kingdom. Doing kingdom work might also mean taking a week, traveling north and a little west, going up to Spirit Lake Nation and offering whatever is asked of us in that time. It might also be just sharing our testimony with someone who needs to hear about God's love for them. This is all kingdom work. And it is all incredibly important. Are you working for the kingdom? Are you working for the kingdom today? Finally, living the way of Jesus reminds us that death is not the end. It reminds us that the worst thing is never the last thing. How hopeless would this life be if when we die, that was it? End of the story. How hopeless would that be? We know that the worst thing is never the last thing because we know that Jesus was resurrected, which means that we follow in those footsteps, that we will be resurrected. There is more to our story than just what we experience here on earth. There is a life beyond this because of the resurrection of Jesus. We know that we too will be resurrected. This, brothers and sisters, is good news. This is what Jesus taught. This is also what Jesus demonstrated. Throughout his ministry, Jesus taught the disciples and so many others about what it meant to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and what it meant to love our neighbors as ourselves. Parable after parable, story after story, and life experience after life experience all points to how Jesus shows us how we should live. We should live a Christ-like life. And now, after all of the teaching that Jesus did, the Holy Spirit, Jesus promised, has come. And the Holy Spirit offers us that reminder of what Jesus taught us. Reminds us of all the lessons that we have heard and all the lessons that we have read. Are we listening closely? Are we listening closely? I want to close today by sharing a little bit about the other main topic that we find in Tom Berlin's book. Through the power of the resurrection and the transformation that we experience, we encounter the change between the false self and the true self. Between the false self and the true self. Because this, I believe, is how Jesus sees us through his resurrected eyes. So maybe we've been thinking about this through the first 5 weeks of how we see the resurrected Jesus through the eyes of those who encountered him. But now that we are focusing on Jesus, we're seeing how Jesus sees us through his resurrected eyes. I wonder how many of us have issues with a false self. How many of us have heard the lies that other people tell about you? How many of us have listened to the lies that we have told ourselves about who we think we are? You see, this gets to the heart of the matter because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But there are times when we find that incredibly difficult to believe, that we're really not sure if we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's far easier to think that we're nobody, that we are unworthy, that we are unloved. But let me tell you that can't be farther from the truth. Cannot be farther from the truth. I'm sure you've all had experiences like this, but I know of a few that I've heard their stories. I've heard one from a woman in my first church that I was appointed to who heard all the lies, heard all the stories about who everyone thought she was and how she was telling herself who she thought she was. And then she heard the voice of truth. She heard the voice saying, "You are loved." Saying, "You are worthy." Someone sitting in here today has that same experience. It may be you, but I know of one for sure. They came to a realization of said, you know, I've been hearing all the lies my whole life about who I thought I was, about who I should be, that I was never worthy of love. I was never worthy of anything good, that I was just here. And then this person walked through the doors of Journey of Hope and heard a message of love, of grace, of acceptance, of welcoming. Heard a message of, I am worthy. I am worthy just who I am today. That God accepts me for who I am, welcomes me home, welcomes me into this place. And then God loves me too much to leave me there. Because while God accepts us right as we are, God comes in and wants to change us and wants to perfect us in this sanctifying grace. And he tells us that we're loved. He tells us that we are worthy. And then he says, I want you to do this. Remember I said just a little bit ago about the Spirit nudging you in certain ways? And you all went, ah, yeah. I remember those times. I remember that was just yesterday that God told me something. Because that nudge comes when God wants you to grow. And God wants you to expand. And God wants you to grow a deeper faith and reconcile all those relationships. How are you with the false self? Can you remove the false self from your life? Can you accept the true self that comes through the resurrection? And maybe if you're having a problem with that, maybe here's something that you can try. I know a number of people have done this. Just write something on a post-it note. It doesn't have to be laminated or anything beautiful. Just take a post-it note right on there. You are loved. You are worthy. Maybe you can write, I am a baptized child of God. If you're not baptized, we can talk about that too. But write that on a little post-it note. Stick it on your mirror in your bathroom. So when you get up every morning and you get ready, you look at that mirror and you look at that little note just as a reminder that says, I am loved, I am worthy, and I am a child of God. The true self is what Jesus brings through the resurrection. Because remember, as I started this, I said that the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. Changes each and every one of us. It changes everything. Yes, the transformation is a miraculous one, but it also comes with a purpose and a challenge of living that Christ-like life. The resurrection transforms and reconciles us. The resurrection calls us into kingdom work, whatever that might be. And the resurrection reminds us that death does not have the last word. The death does not have the last word. That resurrection is true. And it's true for all of us. Will you pray with me? Gracious and almighty God. God, we thank you for a message of resurrection, of new life. God, of a message of reminding us that we need to remove the false self. That we need to wipe away all the lies that the deceiver tells us. All the lies that says we're not loved, that we are unworthy, that we will never measure up. Because God, you tell us the true story. And you give us the true self through that power of the resurrection, that you say that no, you are loved, you are worthy, and so much so that I would send my son to die for you. That is how much I love you. And that we receive this new life. And that we are reminded that death is not the last thing. That death has lost its power, has lost its sting. And that resurrected life is coming. God, thank you for a message of hope, of grace, and love. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. We're over here waving palms. Woohoo! All right. Go, knowing that the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit goes with you, and it goes with you always. Amen.